Hello, my name is Nina. Welcome to my channel, Inside the Mind of a Human Predator. I'd like to apologize in advance for my misbehaving basset hound, but he's sound asleep, so I am not going to move him for the sake of this video. And in this video, I'd like to do something a little different. I would like to start looking at literature, and specifically folktales and fables, and how they correlate with psychological traits, here specifically of the antisocial personality disorder and psychopathy. And the particular archetype that I'd like to have a look at is one of the trickster. Now, by no means am I making the claim that the trickster archetype is reducible to those traits. It's a very complex archetype. It's present in various cultures from around the world. In certain cases, the trickster is a somewhat negative character. It's mischievous, it's cunning, it likes to do things for its own gain. At other times, the trickster has more of a positive role. It's someone that transgresses the boundary between the visible and the invisible world. It likes to use intellect over physical force in order to achieve a certain goal. So here, intelligence is more of a positive trait as opposed to cunning, which would be negative. So it's a very, very complex archetype, which is why it's an archetype. So what I'd like to do is narrow it down and have a look at the trickster archetype of the fox. In European fables and folktales. So if we go back thousands of years, 2,500 years, to Aesop's fables, we'll remember the famous tale of the fox and the crow that has been adapted by multiple authors since. In Russian culture, it's Ivan Krylov. And this fable is pretty basic. In it, the crow is sitting on a tree with a delicious large chunk of cheese that it had obtained, and the fox wants the cheese for itself, even though it does not belong to the fox. So the fox engages in exaggerated flattery and tells the crow that it has the most divine voice in all of the avian world. Now, we know where this is going. I love crows. They do not sound like nightingales, but the crow falls for this exaggerated flattery, starts singing, drops the cheese, and the fox gets what it wants. So fables, and that's the very purpose of fables, is to have a moral in order to transmit certain societal knowledge, which today we would call street smarts, from generation to generation. And of course, the moral of this story here is to not only be aware that there are manipulative individuals in our world that do not have the best intentions, but also to check ourselves and to not be as arrogant as to assume that we are the best in the world at certain endeavor here, singing, which is obviously not the case for the crow. So this is the way we used to transmit this kind of public knowledge. Obviously, a lot of these tales are still available, but if you were to go to a children's section in a bookstore or online, you would mostly see books about self-esteem, about accepting others. These are not unimportant issues, but there's something being lost from not putting enough emphasis on these timeless stories, fairy tales, and fables that used to be taught to us as children. So the one that I would like to have a more specific look as is, I have it in the book format for the littlest kids in Russian, and it's the story of a fox and the bear. This book is meant for children under the age of 3, so they cannot read. This is meant to be a bedtime story. Now, in this story, the fox is also very clearly a trickster, and it displays some overt antisocial traits, not the whole list, because the story is pretty short. So it has pretty brazen disregard for social values of right and wrong. It has pretty significant sense of superiority and arrogance. It believes that it's smarter than everyone else. It's charming, manipulative, sometimes flattering. It is disrespectful of others, and it engages in deceit over and over again. So it's a pervasive trait for personal gain. In this story, it is theft. So it has a certain level of criminality. What I would like to add to this list is that the story has some textbook gaslighting. So I find it fascinating that there is this story that has been adapted for kids under the age of 3, and it has all of this that you could find by looking into the DSM and certain traits, not all, for the antisocial personality disorder, which of course is also linked to psychopathy. So the story is very basic. The fox heard that the bear, who is a very hardworking, honest gentleman — the animals, of course, in these fables and fairy tales are always anthropomorphic — and he's got a prized possession, a very large barrel of honey. He is a bear after all. So the fox wants it for herself. The fox here is female. And basically, the fox engages in deceit right off the bat. It comes to the bear's house, and it tells the bear that it has had damage to its own house and has nowhere to stay. Please, 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 let me stay with you. So the fox is being manipulative right from the get-go. It's lying about the status of its own home. It's pressing on all these guilt-tripping buttons, and the bear, being an upstanding citizen in the animal world, of course, accepts the fox, invites it over, and they have a nice evening. The bear goes to sleep, as you can tell from the illustration for the kids. And as soon as the bear is passed out — it's a hardworking gentleman — the fox climbs the ladder to the attic, finds the prized possession, the large barrel of honey, and eats the whole thing. Now, the fox doesn't just escape, having gotten what it wants, having engaged in theft, and ending up in the bear's home under the false pretext. The fox stays overnight. The fox wakes up in the morning. They have a beautiful traditional breakfast with pancakes. And the fox actually requests to have some honey with pancakes, knowing in advance that honey is no longer available because it had eaten it all and stolen it. So the bear, once again being very cooperative, generous, friendly, and a good host, goes upstairs to the attic and realizes that there's no more honey. So the bear is a little bit upset, and he accuses the fox of having consumed this honey. Now the fox here starts engaging in pretty textbook gaslighting. It's absolutely appalled. It's very aggressively lying to the bear's face, saying, "How dare you accuse me of this thing that it actually did?" And the bear is almost startled, like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a second, maybe I'm wrong." And the fox, in fact, says that, "No, no, you are the one that must have climbed up to the attic when I was asleep, and you're the one that must have consumed your whole giant barrel of honey at night. But I have a solution. Why don't we prove this empirically?" So the fox takes this one step further. And I think it's pretty fascinating that, in addition to gaslighting, it's clearly showing a sense of intellectual superiority and arrogance. The fox didn't leave when it ate the honey. The fox is now gaslighting the bear to convince that the bear himself is the culprit. Now the fox wants to engage in this experiment to demonstrate to the bear empirically that the bear, in fact, is the culprit. So the fox, in advance, thinks that the experiment will go exactly how it planned. So in this story, if you lie down in the sun, the honey will melt out of your out of your belly. And so, you know, this is a fairy tale. And so even though the fox knows that it is the one that had eaten the honey, it still wants to engage in this experiment. This is how much smarter the fox thinks it is than the bear. So they lie outside. The bear, being a hardworking gentleman who is always tired, falls asleep. And as the bear falls asleep, honey starts melting out of the fox's belly. So what does the fox do? It takes the honey and it smears it all over the bear and then wakes up the bear to inform the bear that, hey, look, I was right. You are responsible for stealing honey from yourself, apparently, according to the story. So again, there's this pervasive pattern of gaslighting and deceit in this story. And once again, the bear is startled after waking up. And this is actually not in a story, but you could see that in the end, the bear is not only apologizing, but he's giving gifts as an apology to the fox that had come into the bear's home under false pretext, had stolen the honey from the bear, criminal acts engaging in theft, has gaslit the bear on numerous occasions, had been very arrogant to think that it can convince the bear that the bear in fact is at fault and is actually successful at the end of the story, and it gets an additional gift from the bear who is apologizing for something that the fox had done. So I thought it was a pretty fascinating case study because it's such a quick little story for the littlest kids. I'm not sure if there is a longer version of this, and it seems to display all these aspects that had it been a human in a real life situation, we would say, wow, this person is a little bit sociopathic and this person had just engaged in a criminal act. So it's a pretty amazing way to transmit folk wisdom and to teach the youngest members of society about human predators. So I hope you found this video useful. Perhaps it's something for you to think about particular archetypes in your culture and literary characters and so on and so forth. Please like, share, and subscribe, and I will see you soon. Thank you.